Have you ever wondered why God put certain portions of Scripture into the Bible? Have you ever wondered that? Always. Honest man. Why God put the genealogies into the Bible? You know, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and on, and it can go for chapters. Have you ever wondered why God put certain things into the Bible? We know from Scripture that all Scripture, all of the Bible is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's all profitable. But sometimes it seems like certain portions are more profitable than others. I remember a story that was told to me by, told to our class. I had Warren Wiersbe, the famous preacher and commentator, for my pastoral duties class at Trinity Seminary. And he told us a story. He was going to begin a series of messages on the Gospel of Matthew. And he said, as I started to study and I was preparing my first sermon, I had the temptation to skip over the genealogy. Matthew begins with a genealogy. And he said, I thought, maybe I'll just skip that and start in the next section. But he said, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, no, I better preach the genealogy. So he did. And that day he preached. After the sermon, a lady came forward and knelt down and received Christ as her Savior. He met the lady afterwards and found out that she was Jewish. And this was the first time, I believe, that she was ever in a Christian church. And because he preached the genealogy, she saw from that that Jesus was the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, and she came and received Christ. So he said, after that, he said, I determined never, when I'm preaching through a book, to skip anything. No genealogy or anything. I'm just going to preach the word. And so that was his testimony. We are studying in the book of Joshua. And today we come to seven chapters. I'm going to preach on seven chapters today. Did you bring your lunch? But these seven chapters give a detailed description of the division and the apportionment of the land of Canaan. One third of the book of Joshua is given to the distribution of the land. Now, I'm going to read. You don't have to turn here. This is in chapter 15 of Joshua. Probably take your books, your Bibles, and open them up to chapter 13. But in chapter 15, let me read something to you. Listen to this. Now, the lot for the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families, reached the border of Edom, southward to the wilderness of Zin, at the extreme south. Their south border was from the lower end of the Salt Sea, from the bay that turns to the south. Then it proceeded southward to the ascent of Akrabim and continued to Zin. From then went up by the south to Kadesh Barnea and continued to Hezron and went up to Ador and turned to Karka. It continued to Asmon and proceeded to the brook of Egypt, and the border ended at the sea. This shall be your south border. The east border was the Salt Sea as far as the mouth of the Jordan, and the border of the north side was from the bay of the sea at the south, the mouth of the Jordan. Then the border went up to Beth Hogla, and it continued on to the north of Beth Araba, and the border went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and the border went to Debir from the valley of Achor and turned northward toward Gilgal, which is opposite the ascent of Adullam, which is on the south of the valley, and the border continued to the waters of En Shemash, and it ended at En Rogel. And weren't you just blessed by that? Wow! Sure glad God put that in his word. But it is in the word. What, if any, practical significance does this portion of scripture have? Because that's what you have in these seven chapters of scripture. From chapter 13 through 19, you have this detailed description of the division of the land and the apportionment of the land. What, if anything, what practical stuff? I mean, certainly when we read through this, we speed read it. We go through quickly. What if I were to tell you that this portion of scripture is extremely practical? It's extremely relevant, even to us here today. Well, okay, show us, Pastor. Right? Okay, back in chapter 11. Here's where we are. Here's the background. If you haven't been with us, here's where we are. Chapter 11, verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Thus the land had rest from war. They had fought the battles. The war itself was really over. The seven mighty kings in the land had been vanquished. Now the land had rest from war. But there was a real danger. There was another real danger. The enemy had been vanquished, and now there was an inheritance to have. And the danger was that the people of God would start fighting with each other. That brothers would start fighting with each other. And that's a real danger when there's an inheritance. What was God's answer to this danger? The answer is what we find, I believe, in chapters 13 through 19. So look with me, if you have your outline, the first point is the inheritance was bestowed. The inheritance was bestowed. Look at chapter 13. Here we have the inheritance was defined in detail. It was defined in detail. Joshua is given a new commission here. God speaks to Joshua in verses 1 and 2. He says this. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years when the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed." By the way, how do you know when you're getting old? I'll tell you what. Somebody says there's three stages in life. Youth, middle-aged, and boy, you're looking good. Do you know I walked in here today, and that gentleman right back there said, "Boy, Pastor, you're looking good." Didn't you? Yes, you did. So how do you know you're getting old? Thanks. If God tells you you're getting old, you're getting old. And God appeared to Joshua and said, "You know what, Joshua? You're old and advanced in years. And there's still much of the land to be possessed." Now it's interesting, in verses 2 down through verse 6, he describes the land that needs to still be taken. But he didn't tell Joshua, "Okay, get your sword on. get out there, get battling. You know, you're the general, get out there, lead the troops. Listen, folks, Joshua was old. He was advanced in years. You know, when you get up in years, there's things you can't do you used to do. Come on, somebody say amen to that. There's stuff you can't do anymore. But you know what? God didn't put him on the shelf. He didn't. He had a very important job to do. It wasn't to go out. He said, Joshua, don't worry. See verse 6? He says, I will drive them out from before the sons of Israel. But here's your job, Joshua. Only allot it to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. Verse 7. Now therefore apportion this land for an inheritance to the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. Joshua still had an important job to do. It wasn't the same job. He was older. But it was an extremely important job to divide the land, to apportion the land, and to distribute the land to the children of Israel. Now, I want to encourage us that are getting a little older. You can't maybe do what you used to do, but God's got a job for you to do. God never puts a person on the shelf because they're getting older. He doesn't do that. We are here to serve the Lord. And we have an important job. I don't care what age you are. As long as you have breath, you have a job to praise and serve and worship and pray and serve Christ. And that's something we learn here. He said, you know what? Your job is to apportion it as an inheritance. Now, this word inheritance, it's interesting. It occurs 50 times. 50 times in chapters 13 through 21. Very important word. Very important. The Jews, listen to this, the Jews had inherited the land. They inherited the land. They didn't win their land as spoils of war. They didn't purchase the land by a business transaction. They inherited the land. Now listen to what Moody Bible Institute Today in the Word says about this. It says, Israel wasn't just taking the land, they were inheriting the land. An inheritance cannot be taken by force. It is not a prize won or a salary earned. The land Joshua and Israel occupied was the result of the promise from God to Abraham, the father of the entire nation of Israel. His descendants inherited not by force, but by faith, the land. God had set apart the land and prepared it for Israel. All Joshua had to do was to help the nation claim it. He had to help them possess their possessions. Now, I thought about that. Isn't that interesting? How about us? Our Joshua. Remember what Joshua's name means in the New Testament? What's Joshua's name in the New Testament? Jesus. Our Joshua. Jesus has already fought the battle. The war is won. He died on the cross. He defeated sin. He came out of the grave. He defeated death. When a person places faith in Christ and calls on him to save them, she receives an inheritance. An inheritance. You remember the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus? Remember what he said to Jesus? Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's a dumb question. What must I do? What do you have to do to inherit something. You're born, but you know what? For an inheritance, someone has to die to get an inheritance. You don't do anything. To get an inheritance, someone has to die. And Jesus died on the cross. Jesus paid it all on the cross. Said, it is finished. He died. Through his saving death, offers us an inheritance, which is eternal life. It's not something we can do something for. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You receive an inheritance. You receive it. It's something you receive. And when you receive Christ, we are now heirs, joint heirs, co-heirs, together with Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance. And that inheritance is eternal life. Listen, when we receive Christ, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is ours. Every spiritual blessing. We receive everything in Christ pertaining to life and godliness. We receive every precious and magnificent promise in the whole Bible when we have Christ. We have it all in Christ. We are heirs and joint heirs. And we have entered, we have entered into that inheritance, but you know there's more to come when we get to heaven. Because we have an inheritance in heaven which is unfading, undefiled, reserved for you in heaven. You know what that means? You say, well, that's pie in the sky by and by. But you know what? We have cake on the plate while we wait. And then we get pie in the sky by and by. We've got an inheritance in Christ. You can't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. It's a gift bestowed through Jesus Christ. And all we need to do, you know what we need to do with our inheritance? We need to claim it. We need to possess our possessions in the Lord. Oh, folks, an inheritance was defined in detail. But you know what? When there's an inheritance, there's danger. You know, people, and this is tragic. This is tragic. People fight over inheritances. Can I have an amen? Does anybody experience that? I mean, brothers fight over an inheritance, over stuff. Families over stuff. There's a danger when there's an inheritance. So we have, secondly here, the inheritance, was determined by God. Turn to chapter 14. The inheritance was determined by God. Let me read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 14. It says, Now these are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households and the tribes of the sons of Israel apportioned to them for an inheritance by the lot of their inheritance, as the Lord commanded through Moses for the 9 tribes and the half tribe. Did you see those words in verse 2? By the lot. By the lot. In fact, the word lot occurs 15 times in chapters 14 through 19. See, Moses had told them on the other side of the Jordan, he said, when you divide the land, distribute it by lot. Let me give you a couple verses on that. Numbers 26, 55 and 56. But the land shall be divided by lot. According to the selection by lot, their inheritance shall be divided. Numbers 33, verse 54. You shall inherit the land by lot. Wherever the lot falls to anyone, that shall be his. Numbers 34, 13. So Moses commanded the sons of Israel, saying, this is the land that you are to apportion by lot among you as a possession. You know, the lot, casting dice. That's the lot. Why such a big deal about the lot? Because that stresses or emphasizes fairness. Fairness. It was to be done, if it would have been done any other way, it could cause resentment, bitterness, disunity among brothers. Can't you just hear them? It's not fair. It's not fair. I didn't get as much as he did. My land's not quite as good as that one. That's the portion I wanted. If you divided it any other way, but by lot, there would have been a lot of disunity. Now, when this was written, they only had the first five books of the Bible, right? The Pentateuch. They didn't have the book of Proverbs. They didn't have Proverbs 16, verse 33, that says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its very decision is from the Lord. It's from the Lord. You know, Lord's sovereign over everything, even the casting of dice. So when they were saying, you're to divide this land and distribute it by lot, they were saying, God's the one who is going to say who gets what. Who gets what. But even with that, even with the casting of lot, they made sure that the high priest, did you see it in verse 14? The high priest, Joshua, the heads of the household of the tribes, were all present when that took place. In case they said, well, we cast the lot. Well, we didn't see it. They all were present. And in chapter 18, verse 10, it says they did it at Shiloh before the Lord. The Lord was watching. So they did everything they could do to make it fair. And why did they do this? This was to promote unity and peace between brothers, the people of God. How important is unity in the church? Folks, you know what Jesus said? By this will all men know that you're my disciples. By the what? Love you have for one another. That's how people will know we are true Christians. But you know what Jesus says in John 17? He said, Father, I pray that you make them one as we are one. Because by this, men will know that, Father, you have sent me into the world to be the Savior of the world. How's he going to know that? How are they going to know that? It's going to be by the unity of the people of God. You know what? We love all brothers and sisters. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ. There's no black and white and red and yellow and brown. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, racism, it's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. And the cure for that is Jesus Christ. It's Christ. And so when people see us loving one another and treating with one another with respect, they're going to say, man, that's different. that's different than the world. Wow. They're all divided out there. They're all hating out there. They're a mess out there. Look at that church. There must be something to this Christianity stuff. Maybe God did send his son into the world to be the savior of the world. How important is the unity of the people of God? Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. And what an opportunity. And I'll tell you what, Satan is attacking the unity of churches out there. I don't know if you know that. Even in our area, there are churches right now that are divided and are being under attack. But here, God determined the inheritance. And then, and number three, the inheritance was distributed to all. It was distributed to all. There were no have-nots. You know, there are no have-nots. There were not haves and have-nots. Everybody was a have. Every tribe, every family, every person received an inheritance. They were not all the same inheritance. Some got different portions of the land. Some were a little bigger than others, but they all got an inheritance. Every tribe got an inheritance. Well, wait, Pastor. The tribe of Levi didn't get an inheritance. Really? You're right, they didn't get a land inheritance, but look at chapter 13, verse 14. Look at chapter 13, verse 14. Only to the tribe of Levi he did not give an inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance as he spoke to him. They would bring their offerings in and they would get a portion of that offering as their inheritance. And over in Numbers, in chapter 18, verse 24, they also got the tithe as their inheritance. The people were to take a tenth of what God blessed them with and bring it in and give it to the Levites. So their needs were taken care of. But look what else was their inheritance. Look over in 13:33. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses did not give an inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance as he had promised them. Wow! Take your land, I'll take the Lord. Take your stuff, I'll take Jesus. Can you imagine that? You don't get any land. They got some cities and the territory around the cities. They didn't get a portion of land. They got the Lord. Wow. That's neat, man. I'll take the Lord. I'll take the Lord. Look over in chapter 18, verse 7. Look what else they got. Look what else they got. In 18, and this is very, it comes out here. It's, it says they don't get an inheritance of the land, but here's their inheritance. In verse 8, chapter 18, verse 7, for the Levites have no portion among you because the priesthood is their inheritance. You know what they got? They got the awesome privilege to be in full-time service to God. Awesome privilege of getting the opportunity. What do? I serve God. I serve the Lord. You know, I thought back, and I have to be honest. I look back over my ministry. It hasn't been all easy. When you're working with people, they're the greatest blessing in the world, you guys are. And sometimes the greatest challenge in the world. What a blessing. What a blessing. So see, the tribes all got their land and their territories, and even the Levites, they got an inheritance. Their inheritance was, I'll take care of your physical needs. I will let you serve me full time. And you know what? You get me. You know, I think if I was going to be jealous, I'd be jealous of the Levites. They got a lot. But everybody got something. This inheritance blessed everybody. Everybody. What about us? In Christ, we all receive an inheritance. We all receive eternal life. We all receive every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We all receive all the promises of God. We all receive the gift of His Word. We all receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're blessed. We're all blessed. Everybody gets blessed. And we are given, but it's not always the same, right? I mean, we don't all have the same spiritual gift. I don't have a gift like Michaela to come up here and sing up here. If I would sing, you'd probably run for the doors. I don't have that gift. We all have different gifts. And you know what? We don't even get it. Listen, we don't get the choice of what gifts we have. Right? One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. We don't pick what we get. We are assigned what we get, just like they were. They received, and God gave them what He wanted to give them. So we have no room to boast. We have no room, or we should not be envious or covetous of another's gift. We're all blessed and should be eternally grateful for our inheritance in Jesus Christ. God, in His bestowal of the inheritance, was working so that, you know what? Brothers would dwell together in unity. That's how He worked. There's no haves and have-nots in the body of Christ. We're all haves. And so we your gifts aren't like my gifts. That means, you know what? I need you. And you need me. Gifts are to what? They're not to divide us. They're to bring us together. Did you get that? Gifts are not weapons to war with. They're tools to build with. And it brings us together in unity. Oh, God was working here to preserve the unity. You know, we need to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And God was working that way in the inheritance, in the bestowal of the inheritance. There's one more thing that I want to point out here and what God was doing. And that's number two on your outline, the importance of boundaries. The importance of boundaries. Again, get this. The word boundary, or in my translations, it's border. I think it's boundary in the ESV. It's found 62 times in chapters 13 through 19. An important part of God's answer to keeping unity and peace between the people of God was well-defined, detailed boundaries. You see, and you might want to write this down, good boundaries make good relationships. Put that down. Good boundaries make good relationships. Now, I want to ask and answer five questions. I'll try to do this quickly. What is a boundary? American Heritage Dictionary says a boundary is something that indicates a border or limit. It's usually applied geographically to a precise, defined terminating line of a country, a city, or the like. It's a line of demarcation. Right? It divides one place from another. That's a boundary. Second question. Who needs boundaries? First of all, countries need boundaries. Countries need borders. Do you see last week? You see what happened last week? I think it was on Friday. Watching the news, there were 1,300 that were caught coming across the border. And that's not the ones that just got in without detection. Now, let me just say something. Man, I feel... my heart breaks for those people. And I'm going to tell you, probably if I was in some of their situations, I'd be trying to get into our country. I would. Because it's tragic. But having said that, a country needs to have borders. It needs to have boundaries. Because if you don't have boundaries, you don't have a country. But not only do countries and cities need to have boundaries, listen, people need to have boundaries. People need to have boundaries. In their book, Boundaries, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend asked the following questions. Interesting questions. Is your life out of control? Do people take advantage of you? Do you have trouble saying no? Interesting questions, huh? Think about that. If you do, your problem may be boundaries. They go on to say this: having clear boundaries is essential to a healthy, balanced lifestyle. A boundary is a personal property line that marks those things for which we are responsible. In other words, boundaries define who we are and who we are not. Boundaries impact all areas of our lives. Confusion of responsibility and ownership in our lives is a problem of boundaries. Who needs boundaries? We need boundaries. Now, number three, what do good boundaries do? What do? Well, first of all, they establish your living space and ownership rights. They also, good boundaries establish your privileges. You see, the different tribes in Joshua had certain freedoms within their boundaries. They had the freedom to build, to sow, to reap, to harvest, to dig wells, and develop and use the resources. Listen. Within their boundaries. So boundaries help establish your privileges. They also establish your responsibilities. There were still enemies in the land, right? There were still pockets of resistance in the land. And you remember Caleb in chapter 14, I don't know if we'll get to this, if we'll ever preach on this, but I'd like to preach on it. Chapter 14, Caleb came to Joshua and said, you know, give me the hill country. And so he said, okay, you got the hill country. But you know what? With getting that hill country came responsibility. He had to go up and drive out the giants that were in that country. And he did. He went up and he fought within those boundaries and he took that land. So along with receiving privileges in living in the land, there were responsibilities of protecting it, working it, developing the land and its resources. Another thing good boundaries do, they define acceptable behavior and non-acceptable behavior. And I thought of an illustration. I have every right to go home and I can take dig up my backyard and plant a garden because that's my backyard. But if I go over to my neighbor's yard and say, hey, I'm going to plant a garden here and start digging up their yard, that's probably not acceptable because, you see, that's not mine. Boundaries establish acceptable behavior and non-acceptable behavior. Acceptable behavior, you see, it's same thing with the tribes of Israel. They could dig wells in their land, in their boundaries, but they couldn't go over to their brother's land and dig wells. So it establishes acceptable and non-acceptable behavior. And here's the big one. Good boundaries promote unity and peace. Let me see if you can finish this. Good fences make good neighbors. Folks, that's true. You know, boundaries do that. Good boundaries are necessary for good, peaceful, healthy relationships to be maintained. Without good boundaries, you will experience all kinds of fights, misunderstandings, hurt feelings, toes being tramped on, and sometimes all-out wars. That's true in countries. That's true in families. Do you need boundaries in families? That's true in churches. It helps to maintain that unity, promote unity and peace. So good boundaries, that's what they do. In what areas do we need boundaries? And I have a whole lot here, but I'm going to cut it out for time's sake, okay? But Dr. Cloud and Townsend answer that question. What areas do we need boundaries? In all areas. Just all areas. We need boundaries. But let me just give you a couple. First of all, we need personal life boundaries. We do. We need to establish acceptable behavior, moral boundaries. Moral boundaries, folks, are found in God's Word. In fact, the Ten Commandments, they're ten boundaries. They're moral boundaries. That's what they are. And we need to have a set of boundaries as far as our moral behavior is concerned. And that's found in the Word of God. We need those boundaries. We need financial boundaries. Financial boundaries are delineated in what is called a budget. Dave Bailey in here. There he is, back in the back. He's our budget man. And we need boundaries when it comes to finances. A budget is a plan on how to use the resources God has blessed us with. Without boundaries, we can get out of control spending and waste God's resources. By the way, I think we need credit card boundaries. Do you hear about the guy that actually performed plastic surgery on his wife? He cut up all her credit cards. We need credit card boundaries. I'll tell you, when we got our first credit card back in 1979, I set a boundary. We will not put $1 on this credit card that we cannot pay off the month we get that bill. And so for 42 years, we've not paid any interest charges. Do you know what the credit card company calls me? I'm a deadbeat. That's what they call people like that. You're deadbeat. But I'll tell you what, you need to have some kind of boundaries or we will find ourselves wasting God's money. You know, a big problem happens, by the way, when two people get married and they have different boundaries when it comes to finances. And it's not how much money you make. A lot of young people today make in the six figures and they have all kinds of problems. Reminds me, I was called by a couple. They said, Pastor, we're having a problem. Would you come to our home? And I went to the home. It was a very nice home. I went in and sat down and we prayed and I said, okay, share with me what your problem is. They said, we're having financial problems. I said, okay. I said, I have to ask you, how much do you make? And I knew both of them worked. And I'm going to tell you that what they made was way up into the six figures. And as they shared that with me, I'm thinking, boy, I wish I had these problems. I wish I had these financial problems. But it wasn't a problem of how much money they made. It was a problem of boundaries, of knowing how to spend it and knowing how to invest it and knowing how to use God's resources the way God wants us to use them. So we need boundaries in that. We need relational boundaries. Relational boundaries. And I have a bunch down here. I'm just going to mention two. Spousal boundaries. When you got married, you said vows to one another. Marriage vows are boundaries. They're boundaries. And forsaking all others, I will be faithful unto you so long as we both shall live. It's a boundary. Big problems happen when spouses step outside of marital boundaries. And let me just say this. You don't have to jump into bed with somebody to cross the boundary. You can have an emotional affair, and that's out of bounds. It's out of bounds. And we have to have boundaries within our marriages. Spousal boundaries need to be respected for the marriage to be all that God wants it to be. We need boundaries between parents and children. I mean, listen, our kids need boundaries. Amen? They do. They need boundaries. They need well-defined, clear boundaries, well-defined expectations concerning their behavior. Parents need to teach their children boundaries and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They need to learn that. All areas we need boundaries. Now, I'm going to move on fast. How can we establish good boundaries? And I'm finished, okay? How can we establish good boundaries? First of all, make sure all your boundaries are according to God's word. All your boundaries are according. Any boundary that violates God's principles laid out in his word is out of bounds. It's unacceptable. Secondly, make sure all boundaries are fair. How did they do this in Joshua? Again, they divided the land, had members of each tribe present. They cast lots to choose what each got. They gave more land to the more numerous tribes. They treated everyone with equity and didn't play favorites. They didn't scheme to get their own way. We need to pray. God, show me what boundaries you want me to have in this relationship. In my life, help me with that, God. I pray that I want them to be fair. And if you're setting boundaries with another person, and sometimes in the body of Christ, we need to set boundaries with people in the body of Christ. Ask the person, is this fair? And don't ask your kids that, because I'll tell you what they're going to say. No, they're not fair. But if you're with another adult, ask, is it fair? Work out fair boundaries. Number three, make sure all boundaries are well-defined, clear, and communicated. Write them down if necessary. Unseen, invisible boundaries are unfair boundaries. Let me say something to the ladies of our church. Your husband is not omniscient. I know that's a shock. I have a cartoon, High and Lois. Do you ever read High and Lois in the comics? The cartoon, it shows he walks in and she's there and he says, what's wrong? She she responds, if you don't know, you are either insensitive, self-centered, uncaring, or clueless. And she walks out and slams the door. He looks up and he says, well, if this is multiple choice, I take D. You've got to communicate unseen, invisible boundaries are not fair. That's for either males or females, right? We've got to communicate them. And then lastly, make sure you regularly evaluate your boundaries and adjust when appropriate. Judah had too much land given to it, if you read those chapters. And they evaluated this and adjusted the inheritance. They gave Simeon a portion of what they had originally given to Judah. When circumstances change, when kids grow up, when incomes change, and other changes occur, sometimes you need to sit down and reevaluate your boundaries and communicate new boundaries. Well, folks, the conclusion here. We have a great inheritance in Christ. We are rich in Christ. We've got it all. What we need to do is by faith, we need to claim our inheritance and live out our inheritance in Christ. I'll tell you what, when you realize this, you go out of here today, you're singing. You're praising God for his great blessings that he has given in your life. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, listen, there's an inheritance. Someone died for you. And there's an inheritance you can have. You have to see that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. And when you realize that, and you believe and you turn to him, you turn from your sin, and you turn to Christ and believe in him, so if you haven't claimed that inheritance, do it today. Call on his name today, and you will be blessed. That doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life and nothing. It can be hard. It can be tough. But I'll tell you what, you're blessed with eternal life. Now, some others here today, I want to ask you, is your life out of control? I mean, you just all over here and there, and everybody's calling on you, and it's out of control. Do people take advantage of you? Do they? Do you have a problem? Say no. If you do, you know what? You have a problem with boundaries. And I would suggest that what you do is you come up here and pray and just say, God, help me to establish some good boundaries. One last thing. Never skip over any portion of God's word. Because those portions that look like this isn't very practical, all scripture is profitable. All scripture is profitable. We need boundaries for life, and good boundaries make for good relationships. Would you bow your heads, please? Lord, we bow before you today. And Lord, I thank you for the words here in chapters 13 through 19, Lord. And sometimes when we read through them, I have to admit that I skim because of all the borders and all the repetition. And the Lord, there are truths and treasures in every portion of your word. Thank you for your word. I'm just going to ask you right now, if God has spoken to you and you'd like to come up and just pray. You're here, maybe you don't know the Lord, but you want to accept Christ today. The Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. I want you to get out of your seat right now. Come up to right up front here. And either kneel down or stand and receive Christ. I want to ask here if others, you're struggling with boundaries. You're struggling with boundaries. And you need to come up right now and just say, God, help me. Help me to establish good, healthy boundaries in relationships. Would you come up right now? Come up. If you need to come up now. If anyone here needs to come and rededicate their life to Christ, would you come up right now? You want to rededicate your life to Christ? Come and talk to Him. Come on. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you for your Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. There may be others that, Lord, you want to touch right now and bring forward to come to you, God. Lord, touch them now, Holy Spirit. We believe in you. We believe in you, Lord. We just ask you to do your work. We thank you, God. We thank you that we can come and talk to you right now. In Jesus' name.